You're listening to the ArenaFan.com podcast coming to you from the JW Marriott Hotel, the home of Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22 New Orleans.
And welcome back to Radio Row at Arena Bowl 22. My guest joining me now is the head coach of the Grand Rapids Rampage, Steve Tun. Coach, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Good to be here.
Coach, what was the change in mentality this year for Grand Rapids?
You know, it was really hard to say because we, you know, the first half of the season was so up and down, and it really was a struggle. So it's hard to really say what the change was. I think we just kind of kept messing with the personnel a little bit, getting new guys in, and kind of putting pieces to the puzzle together, and it finally clicked at the end of the season.
What did James McPherson mean to this team?
James did a great job. I mean, James, you know, I knew he was a smart quarterback just by having him as a backup in Georgia, and he kind of gave us what we needed at the time. We just needed somebody to go out there that the guys would believe in at the beginning just to get some wins going. So I think it was really important that, you know, we threw James in as early as we could. And, you know, he had some rough games in there and had a rough game at the end. But overall, he did a great job for us.
In the dispersal draft, you add Ahmad Hawkins to your secondary. What did he mean to you?
Hawk was great just because, you know, he was the quarterback of our defense. I mean, you need that one guy back there that's going to communicate with all the other DBs and just make sure you're on the same page. So I think the one thing that Hawk brought was just that veteran type leadership that we were expecting to get from him. And, you know, he did a great job. I think he settled in, you know, kind of halfway through the season, Hawk kind of settled in too and played a lot better. But he was really important just for our overall defense. He was a really important piece to us.
Last game of the regular season, you go into New Orleans, you win 86-70. Right at the end of the game, the players come up and they dump you with the Gatorade. what is that moment like for you as a coach?
You know, I don't know if a 6-10 coach ever got doused with water before. So it was kind of, you know, at first I wasn't expecting it. It was kind of weird. But it was great. I mean, it was just a great feeling because at the end, we had been playing a lot better football halfway through the year, but we just couldn't get the win. So I think when it all kind of clicked at the end, you know, I think everybody was pretty excited. We knew we had to go down to New Orleans and win that game to get in. And we didn't want to back our way in and, you know, by losing it. So it was just a great, you know, it was a great experience. Plus, you know, it's always fun to get dunked by water, so it wasn't too bad.
How difficult was the schedule at the end of the year having to play 5 straight road games?
You know, it was difficult, but I think our guys really bought into it. We knew that starting with that Columbus game, we had to go on the road if we were going to win, and we knew it was one and done at any time. So playing the last 2 games on the road, I really think helped us for the playoffs because our guys were used to it and say, hey, this is what we had to do for the last 2 weeks. So it was really no change once we got into the playoffs.
Were the Chicago Rush of 2 years ago and Columbus Destroyers of last year a motivating factor for your team?
You know, it was. I mean, and I think you would – we had to bring it up, I mean, because it was there in front of you that these two teams did do it the 2 years before. So we talked about it a little bit. We didn't make a big deal about it, but you had to bring it up because it did happen. And, you know, it is true. Everyone says that once the playoffs come, it's a new season. But you have two teams that have actually backed up that saying. So we did talk about it a little bit, but the guys still had to come through and play good football to keep it going.
Let's talk about some of your previous coaching experience. You were the head coach of the Houston Thunder Bears for 4 years. At the end, they became the traveling Thunder Bears, more or less. How did that experience help you as a coach?
You know, probably more than I thought at the time. You know, at the time, you're kind of frustrated on the way things went down in Houston, and the last year we had to travel and play all away games. So at the time, you're trying to get through it. But when you look back on it, there was a lot of things that I think I had to do as a head coach, just trying to keep the team together, trying to keep their morale up. There's a lot of those types of things that, you know, I think I learned that. Plus, I think the best thing I learned from it was, you know, anything can happen. You know, I'm going to go through some tough times, but you're never going to make it. It's never going to be as tough as the Houston times, especially those last few years. So, you know, overall, it was tough at the time, but it was a great experience.
How much did you take from coaching under Steve Tun, under Doug Pike in Georgia?
You know, Doug was, you know, if you know Doug, he's just a very interesting person. The way he coaches, he's not your typical coach. You know, he's a Burger King owner. But it was really kind of refreshing because you learned kind of different ways that he motivated, different ways that he did things, and it wasn't your typical coach ways. So I think there was a lot of things I took from Doug, just the way he kind of handled players, the way he handled practices, and the same thing when I was in Dallas, just taking it from Will McClay and Joe Avanzano. And so hopefully, you know, those 5 years I wasn't a head coach, I was just trying to kind of watch those guys and see what can I take from all these guys and kind of incorporate it when I do get a job again.
over the last three seasons you've produced, you have Matt Nagy, who had a tremendous season for you. Then you take his backup, Chris Greisen, and he becomes an amazing quarterback in Georgia. Now you take the backup from his backup and take him with you to Grand Rapids and James McPherson. What have you done to breed all these quarterbacks?
Really, nothing. I wasn't a quarterback, so I think the one thing that I have not tried to do with any quarterbacks is I'm not going to tell them how to throw the ball, how to do. You know, I wasn't a quarterback, so really, if you can't throw it, I'm not going to change anything they do. So I think they do appreciate that I'm not trying to really change them as a quarterback. I've always said the two things that I kind of know as a coordinator is where the ball should go and if the timing was right. So that's really all I talk to these guys about, and they've really. You know, Chris Greisen learned a lot from Clint Dalzell, just sitting on his bench. And then James McPherson learned from Chris, who learned from Clint. So, all three of them are such hard workers. I really didn't have to teach them that much. They kind of learned from each other. And then Matt, I think Matt and I just hit it at the right time. I think Matt was, you know, when Jim Kubiak went down that one year, I think it was just Matt was kind of ready. I think he was kind of refreshed just to be in our offense, and I think we just kind of hit it at the right time and got along well, and we're really able to kind of use each other and get through those 2 years and just kind of try to better ourselves as we went.
Now, Coach, you go back to 1988 with the Chicago Bruisers way back in the day. How do you think the game has changed, and you think it's really for the better?
You know, in a way, it's changed unbelievable. But in a way, I've looked at some films. Every once in a while, I throw in a film from there, and it really hasn't changed that much. You see the same plays. You see the same formations. You see a lot of the same things that, we did 20 years ago. They're still doing it today. So in that way, X's and O's, yeah, it's evolved a little bit, but you still see some stuff that Mike Hohensee and Tim Markham and everyone was doing back then. So it's changed a little bit. The league has changed a lot, just kind of the way the league has been unbelievable, that type of change. But the game hasn't changed quite as much as people think.
A couple weeks ago, you go into San Jose. You do lose 81-55. What does the San Jose team do that makes them so good?
You just can't make mistakes against San Jose. I mean, they're too good a team. They have so many veterans. They're so, their offense is good with Terry Malley and Mark Grebe. You know, those two just feed off each other for 8 years now. So, you just can't make mistakes, and we just went in there and made way too many mistakes to try to be in there. But they're going to capitalize on it, and they're going to play aggressive defense. So you know you have to beat them. You have to run by Cleveland and Omar. I think we tried to do it, but we had a tough time doing it, and we just made too many mistakes.
Looking back at the 2008 season, are the 2008 Rampage a success?
Just the way we finished, I'd have to say yes. It wasn't the record that we wanted. We wanted to have a better record. But as a coach, you always want to be playing your best football at the end of the year, and we were doing that. So I think going through all the injuries that we went through eight fullbacks in eight games at the beginning of the year, and just trying to get to a team that we thought could compete, in that sense, I think we were a success just with the run we made in the playoffs.
What steps do the Rampage have to make to become a championship team?
I think we've talked about it a lot last week, the coaches, when we sat down and kind of evaluated our season. I think the one thing is we have a foundation now that we can go by. Last year we changed so many players that we really didn't know what we had. Now we do know that, hey, we got 12, 13, 14 solid players that, we can already build on. So I think if we can keep these guys on the team for a couple years, plus don't get complacent and still go out and get even guys who are even better than the 14 we have, I think that's the key. So we have to still go out in free agency and find some good players.
Coach, let's look at this weekend's game between Philadelphia and San Jose. Which team do you think has the upper hand? I'm required to ask the question.
Good question. It's hard to say. They're both so good at so many things. I mean, when we were trying to break San Jose down, before we play them, they don't have any weaknesses. And we didn't play Philly this year, but you look at Philly, they really don't have any weaknesses. So you really can't find an easy, like, special teams or somewhere here. They're solid all the way through. So I really don't know who has the advantage. Maybe San Jose, just because they've been there before and been there with veteran players and the same coaches. So but again, Philly has a lot of veterans on their team too, and plus I'm sure they really want to win it this year. So I don't know. It's probably going to even out pretty much.
Okay, well, you know what my next question is. Pick us a winner.
And no matter what, our bet's not going to like me, or Chris Jackson's not going to like me here. So, You know, I'll pick Philly by one.
Philly by one is spoken from the coach of the Rampage. Once again, this has been Adam Markowitz on Radio Row at Arena Bowl 22. My guest has been the coach of the Rampage, Steve Tunn. Coach, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to ArenaFan.com podcasts. Stay tuned for more coverage from Radio Row at Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22 New Orleans.